This podcast is being recorded on the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging. Acknowledge that sovereignty was never ceded, and that genocide and colonization are ongoing to this day. This always was, and always will be, Aboriginal land.
Hello and welcome to Auspulse Snack Pod, the podcast where we serve you up bite-sized chunks of Australian politics and news with a side of crispy memes. My name's Noon, also known as I Know Funkenstein. I am the admin of the Auspol shitposting Facebook group, which is this is also the official podcast of. And joining me today is
Zach Lesnack. I am a mod on the Auspol shitposting Facebook group.
Thanks for joining me again, Zach, and thanks all you listeners at home for tuning in. We just wanted to mentioned that we have changed our acknowledgement of country up top. We got some feedback this week about it, which we were referring to the Birrarung people, which it seems like that actually refers to an area of land around what we now call the Yarra River and isn't the name of a group of people. So we have just tried to change that a little bit. We're totally open to receiving feedback about that and everything else. So, feel free to let us know if you think we should change how we are talking about First Nations people or our acknowledgement or anything else.
Yeah, always important to think critically about that stuff and always try to be taking advice and growing. So 100%. Yeah, thanks for writing in.
And we just want to mention two little things about next week. So we have nearly run out of our like free web hosting. So
we have 31 minutes
so left. Hopefully this episode is less than that.
Runs shorter than that. We've got 31 minutes of free airtime left on our podcast hosting platform. So which means that we're going to have to upgrade to a monthly subscription thing.
And that means we're going to set up a Patreon. So that's, people who don't know, that's a way that you can give financially to help this show. And we'll sort of tell you a bit more about it next week. But even just like donating a dollar a month or something along those lines would make a huge difference to how affordable it is for us to keep doing this podcast.
Yeah, that'll launch next week. So just keep an eye out.
And also next week, we've got a super special, exciting new episode that's a bit unusual and different. And we don't want to spoil it right here, but
stay tuned. Exciting new snack pod horizons ahead.
Hype.
So what do we got for entree this week, Noon?
So this week we have a kind of unfortunate story, well, a very unfortunate story about the Northern Territory, about fracking, also known as hydraulic fracturing, which is a type of gas mining, so for methane, for power use.
Natural gas. Supernaturally received.
Yeah.
Retrieved.
So fracking is this process of, so there's a lot of gas trapped underground inside rocks that have little holes in them. So shale or sandstone are the two most common ones, and Northern Territory mostly shale. And fracking basically involves injecting super high pressured water and sand and chemicals to basically smash that rock deep underground and get the gas that was trapped in it to like flow back up the hole that you just made.
Sounds like it probably would cause absolutely no collateral damage to the environment.
Doesn't destroy water resources, doesn't pollute the ground.
Doesn't like let a bunch of fucking gas escape into the atmosphere.
Straight into the atmosphere.
Like you just like quickly slap a big cup down on the fucking like,
that's like
hole that you've created.
Literally what it is.
It's just such like a childish like, we'll just blow a fucking huge hole under the earth and like quickly breathe in all the gas that like escapes out the crack. It's just such a dumb idea.
Yeah. Not to mention that we have no need for gas because renewable energy and batteries and hydro storage exist. But anyway, there's been a sort of temporary ban or a moratorium on fracking in the Northern Territory. And
in several other states as well.
In several other states, including Victoria, where we're recording this. And the Northern Territory government has been doing this independent inquiry, which is basically them being like, tell us how we can ignore the wishes of the traditional owners who don't want us to frack. And so that this independent study has come up with this thing called the monitoring and compliance strategy, which is basically the rules that you have to follow if you want to ignore the wishes of the traditional owners and frack on their land.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Very cool.
It's also just like economically ridiculous because like the price point that the industry says is something like $7.50 per unit of gas in the Northern Territory. And by contrast, in other states in Australia, it's like $2 and a bit. And in the United Arab Emirates, it's 20 Australian cents for the same amount. So even if they like dug up all this gas, it would be like wildly unpopular in the international market or even to supply the domestic Australian market. It's a terrible idea. It's the Northern Territory government are in a big debt hole, and this is like the easiest cash grab they can imagine.
But obviously, you know, the environmental problems and the economic unfeasibility of the whole thing are, you know, two big black marks against this entire process. But the main issue is obviously land rights and First Nations access to land, etc. So this has kind of been an ongoing fight, and the environmental impacts are obviously having a huge impact, will have a huge impact on First Nations people, because we're talking about groundwater being poisoned, which equals widespread like environmental devastation.
Fucking the plants and then all the animals that drink from springs or eat the plants or anything. Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's another sort of classic, I guess, iteration of this fight of like, hey, we want to destroy the land in order to make a bit of money off it, and the people who own it being like, I'd really rather you didn't do that now, if you could. So we just wanted to draw attention to this tour that's being conducted by some Northern Territory anti-fracking activists called the Power of Country Tour. So it's going to be a panel of First Nation activists who are traveling around the country and going to talk about the fight that's going on up there against energy companies and the state government. And they're going to be accompanied by a couple of energy scientists or energy experts who are going to be talking about, you know, all the other reasons why natural gas is a garbage idea. So that is coming to Sydney on the 5th of September and coming to Melbourne on the 8th of October, I believe. No, sorry, the 3rd of October. And the tickets for that are like $10. So maybe look into that if you're interested in learning a bit more and hearing firsthand from the people who've been on the front lines of this fight. That's the Power of Country Tour. And just a little shout out to our friend, friend of the show and listener, Helena, for wording us up about this. And we're going to obviously be keeping an eye on this story as it develops, and hopefully bringing you more developments as they come.
And now it's time for
Shitpost of the Week.
This week we got the Facebook group got raided, which is to say a bunch of people joined the group specifically to troll us. And the people who...
It didn't work.
It basically didn't work. We had a lot of fun, though. I hope they enjoyed it. They were SDA shills. So the SDA is the Shopkeepers Distributive Alliance.
The Shoppies Union.
Yep. And they are a conservative Catholic union that was basically created to help Catholics stamp out communism in the Labour Party.
Dope origins.
Yeah.
Good origin story.
Yeah. So they got mad because someone in the group was like, what union should my sister join? And everyone was like, you should join RAFWU, which is the Retail and Fast Food Workers Union.
Who have essentially been formed over the last 2 years as a direct opposition to the SDA on their own turf, because the SDA are conservative people who not only are like anti-abortion and anti-same-sex marriage, but also managed to negotiate worse than minimum wage payment for
their members.
Their members.
Yeah. So they are a pro employer organization. Calling them a union is like, I mean, technically they are registered as a union, but they're basically there to fuck over their members on behalf of the like managerial class.
Of like organizations like Coles and Woolies. Those are the, you know, it's people who work at supermarkets and people who work at fast food restaurants like,
and
you know, Domino's and 7-Eleven and those.
David Jones.
You know, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's a lot of people that they represent. So that's a lot of people getting represented by a fucking bullshit union.
100%.
So everybody was like, tell your sister, don't join the SDA, you should join RAFWU.
And there were one or two SDA shills in the group who've apparently been there for like a year or more, who were like laser eyes waking up like, oh shit, someone being pro RAFWU, I need to get involved here. And so they like posted in whatever SDA group they're a part of, and we got a huge influx of people being like, oh yeah, my friend told me to join. But the Facebook, so when you join a group, the admins who are like looking at who wants to join,
which is us, by the way,
it's us, get told how many friends they have in the group, and every single one of them was no friends. And I made a little post being like, hey, what? Why did you say your friend told you when they didn't? Anyway, that really should have been the warning sign that.
Yeah, anyway, so they came in and posted a bunch of, like, extremely weak pro-SDA propaganda. I mean, it wasn't even pro-SDA, it was just anti-RAFU.
100%. It was all, like, RAFU is an not a real union.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, which is, like, Freeman on the land shit of, like, the local councils are a registered corporation and therefore I don't have to pay rates or whatever.
It's completely fucking missing the point. Everybody was talking about you shouldn't join the SDA because not only are they extremely socially conservative, but they are a terrible union at representing their members. You should join them, a union like RAFU, who, despite the fact that they're so young and new,
are getting good results.
Exactly. So, look, we had a bunch of people coming in posting troll garbage.
Mediocre memes.
The group really came together. Ozball shit posters, standard united, shoulder to shoulder, comrades throwing out just some fucking epic shit posts. There was so much good OC coming out of the page this week. And
absolutely.
I'm proud to be a part of this. I swear to God, this shit was fucking incredible. So there's almost too many people to mention, really.
Definitely.
You know, we can't give shit post of the week to everybody.
But I think, luckily, this week, despite the, like, very high average, there was one person who really went above and beyond.
Yeah. Congratulations, Hugh Alistair.
Man, you did a bang-up job.
You this fucking was just, knocked it out the park.
He posted a meme on the hour, every hour, for, like, the whole evening and most of the next day that the raid was going on, and has, like, continued to trickle out some more cromulent memes since then. And, like, there was some good shit. There was some established format memes. There were some ones that, as far as I know, were, like, fresh off the top of Hugh's dome from Red versus Blue, and it's good shit. But there was one particular meme that Zach chose out as shitpost of the week.
Yeah, this is, I think, probably the best of the bunch, or at least, you know, sums it up quite nicely.
Yeah.
So this is the meme format where you've got a bunch of people standing around and they're all cutting a cake together. They're all holding the knife and cutting the cake. And then if you look a little bit closer, you'll see there's one guy on the edge and he's kind of holding his hand out sort of towards...
Posing as if he were also holding
towards
the knife.
Towards the knife, but he's not holding the knife. And he's looking at the camera like, yes.
I'm a part of this.
I am also here. And so he was gone and labeled all of the people who are actually holding the knife as ASU, RAFU, IWW, that's the International Workers of the World, AUWU, and heaps of other unions are all... helping each other cut a big cake labeled standing up to capital, and then on the edge holding out their hand, smiling at the camera and doing absolutely fuck all is the SDA.
I actually, this is a great meme format, and I feel a little bit sorry for the guy who is labeled the SDA here, because presumably he was welcome at this event and, like, was welcome to cut this cake.
He's
but just like
basically minding his own business. The next thing you,
like,
know, you're
trying
meme
to join him with his friends at a wedding or whatever it is. But look, in conclusion, fuck the SDA, and bless Hugh Alistair's.
Yeah,
tasty
well
memes.
Done, Hugh Alistair. And look, we want to make it clear, we are bipartisan hack posting.
Yeah.
Facebook group, and, you know, Young Labor hacks, like...
Very welcome.
We welcome you, if you, like, want to go and use these filthy, dirty tactics and try and flood the group, and all of you
do
come...
it so badly.
That's the thing. If you would come in with, like, excellent memes and there had been a bit of a back and forth and a rapport, like...
Or you'd managed to answer any of the questions, like... What is something good that the SDA has done? Where, like, just like
any kind of
crickets,
actual
silence.
Debate, yeah,
that would be fine.
Yeah, but your game was weak as fuck. I'm sorry, it was. So look, if you want to come back and try again, you're most welcome to. I hope you come strapped with some better memes.
Yep.
That's all we got. What do we got for main course this week?
This week we're having watered down soup.
Ooh, what's that a reference to?
It's a reference to a really depressing and deeply infuriating story this week, which I'm sure probably most of our listeners have at least heard a little bit about, which was that there was a Pacific Islands forum this week, and our erstwhile Prime Minister Scott Morrison went over there. And I think this is a yearly thing that's been going on for a couple of years, and basically all of the leaders of the Pacific Island nations and Australia and New Zealand get together and try and reach some agreements about stuff, make trade deals, all sorts of things that go on there. But this year it was all about climate and coal. And so the Pacific Islands are basically the very front line of rising sea levels. And they are the people and the countries who are already experiencing loss of landmass on a really serious degree because of climate change. And by the time we get to the like supposedly safe 2 degrees of warming in a couple decades, it's going to be much worse. And like huge portions of these countries will be lost basically forever.
So like a whole bunch of this conference centered around the drafting of this communique, which basically is put out and signed off by all of the leaders at the end, and they put out and they make kind of a joint statement about this is what we did, this is what we came up with, this is what we've agreed to. And the Pacific Island nations are basically pushing for the communique to agree to say that all of the countries who are partaking in the forum would agree to open no new coal-fired plants, power plants, and they would commit to meeting their targets under the Paris Agreement. And
they also used the word climate.
Climate crisis. Yeah. Yep. And so Australia spent its entire time.
And when we say Australia, it's literally Scott Morrison
in a room with
one
the leaders.
Dude with the leaders of these other forums. And
they were just, I don't know. It's like, I've got a lot, like a lot I want to say about this. But there's something so fucking, like, I don't know, Kafkaesque or just. Like, so soul-destroying about this idea that these Pacific Island leaders are in this room basically pleading with their biggest neighbor, our countries are about to stop fucking existing.
Yep.
We are literally in here asking you to agree to do some things that will guarantee our survival. And Scott Morrison's response is to haggle over the fucking language in this communique in order to, like, he's not even haggling about what they're going to do. Like, he could just leave it in there and just fucking
ignore it like he disregard inevitably it, will.
Which, of course, he would do. But he's haggling over the language in this, reducing it from saying, we don't want to say climate crisis. We want to say climate reality. And, and they ended up removing all aspects of coal. They've watered this thing down. So, you know, and eventually it was released. He didn't even sign off on it wholesale, even on the watered down version. Yep. It's released with qualifications.
And I think something really both interesting and disturbing about this whole thing is that Australia has recently had this sort of international relations approach called the Pacific Pivot or the Pacific Step Up, which is basically the Australian like security industry or community or whatever is worried about China's influence in the Pacific. And so China is trying to do stuff like rent ports or pay for internet hookups to Pacific Islands and this kind of stuff, like providing infrastructure that they need and that will be good for them, but that will then kind of indebt them to the Chinese government in various ways.
The kind of longer-term fear being that those will then become footholds that they might be able to use to expand their military presence.
Yep. And so the Australian government has for a good year and a half at least basically being like, we need to step up our game with having a good relationship with the Pacific leaders. And so one of the things that we did was basically offer to pay for an internet connection, I think, to the Solomon Islands that was otherwise going to be built by a Chinese corporation, Huawei. And sort of as a, I guess, gesture of good faith or something along those lines, the Scott Morrison and his team went into this Pacific Island forum promising $500 million in aid to the Pacific Islands. And
gesture of good faith is a fucking generous interpretation.
It is. It's this, a low base attempt at bribery.
You said that it was from the existing age, but are you about to
I don't know. I was just about to say that. There's a particularly cooked aspect. Everyone, like all of the liberals and
we've found this extra money.
We're giving $500 million to the Pacific that they wouldn't be getting otherwise. But this is money that was in our aid budget that is not going to someone else who needs aid and is instead going to the Pacific Islands. And presumably, quite a lot of this money was already allocated to the Pacific Islands. But anyway, there's literally not an extra cent going to them that we weren't already budgeted for.
And, I mean, just for a little bit of extra context, the Prime Minister of Tuvalu called one of the small Pacific Island nations who was hosting the forum this year, actually, called it shut up money.
Yeah.
Basically. But
which is exactly what it is.
1,000,000%. So, you know, they're going to be like, we'll give you some cash. We're not actually going to do anything material in order to like stop climate change destroying your country. Yep. But, you know, here's a few extra bucks. And but specifically, they've told them it's for infrastructure to help fight climate change, which I think is so fucking insulting. This whole thing is so fucking insulting.
But I think it's really fascinating that Scott Morrison and the Liberal Party have such a giant erection for coal and coal mining that even though they know that fucking up this relationship is going to cause like decades-long security risks for Australia. Yeah. It's like the opening that China has been looking for. It's just like he can't even commit to manipulating the or lying to the Pacific leaders enough to try and maintain their friendship.
It'd just be so easy.
We all know that Australia doesn't give a fuck about international agreements that we sign. So why did he bother arguing about the wording on this thing that he was never going to do anyway? Like, it's just his priorities are so transparently displayed here that it's disgusting.
And yeah, I mean the fact
and
that
also
he's
incompetent. It's massively disgusting
it's,
and
it's
incompetent.
Politically fucking incompetent. And you know he's gone in with it in classic Scott Morrison style with a shit-eating grin plastered all over his face, talking about how the Pacific Island Forum is a family meeting and we're going to discuss family things and we're approaching this in the spirit of family. And then to refuse to budge like at all. And you know it was reported that that Tonga's leader was literally crying during the meeting because you know, can you imagine the fucking frustration of sitting there and you've got this person sitting opposite you who effectively holds the future of your country in their hands to a certain extent, and he's sitting there and just being like, we refuse to give ground, we refuse to give up any kind of economic security on our behalf in order to ensure your fucking survival. Like these are the two. This is an important fucking thing to mention. The things on the table here. On the one hand, you've got Australia's economic security and kind of continued growth,
which also might be fine without expanding
exactly.
Coal, but anyway, that's a side point. Like,
and on the other hand, you've got the literal survival of these nations and the people within it
of that land. Like, it is going underwater.
These are the things in conflict. So then. You've got, in classic style, the Australian media basically completely missing the point, as far as I can tell.
They spent the last few days talking about Alan Jones and being a misogynist, which he is, but like...
Yeah, basically Jacinta Ardern, the Prime Minister of New Zealand, said some pretty fucking mild things.
So mild.
Essentially being like, Australia needs to take responsibility for the huge amount of emissions that they create and the effect that that's having on these small Pacific Island nations. And so Alan Jones gets on his radio show and says that, quote, that I hope Scott Morrison is...
Shoves a sock down her throat.
It's like, I hope he's being advised to shove a sock down her throat, I think is what he said. Something like that. And so the Australian media is like, wow, this is juicy. This is soap opera. So all the questions that ScoMo is getting is he's coming out of the forum having
about
literally...
Alan Jones and about is he going to attack Jacinda Ardern and nothing at all holding him responsible for like pissing away the lives and future of the people who live in the Pacific.
Like any journalist who asked him a question about Alan Jones and didn't say to his face, why do you think that making money from coal is more important than the survival of the people in Pacific Island nations is fucking irresponsible.
You're all on blast.
This, like, it's just our media, established media institutions are fucking incapable of holding these people to account, and it's just so frustrating. And look, this whole story is frustrating. It is so depressing.
I think also it's just. I kind of mentioned this a little earlier. I think that in Australia, in fact, internationally, the carbon budget of a country only counts what is produced domestically. So when we dig up coal and then export it to Japan, that counts on Japan's carbon budget. And so Australia is something like 16th in the world in carbon emissions domestically. But if you include everything that we export, we're number 5, possibly higher. And so we are like neck and neck with huge economies in terms of the pollution and the carbon emissions that we're doing. And I think that was what Jacinda Ardern was saying, was that Australia should consider counting our exports on our domestic budget, which I personally think is a great idea.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially because they, like, these Australian politicians love to then point the finger at China and start talking about, oh, it's all about, you know, China, they're emitting huge amounts of carbon dioxide and doing all this industrial production. It's extremely environmental harmful. It's like, who the fuck do you think they're producing that stuff for?
Yeah, that's absolutely.
You know, that's where heaps of the world's like industrial production happens. So of course, there's going to be higher emissions there. So if you know, anyway.
So that's mostly finished, but we also have a real bad related take.
It was the best of
takes.
It was the blurst of
takes.
You stupid monkey!
So kind of continuing on from this story, while Scott Morrison was overseas representing us and making us look like the fucking absolute shit rat bags that we are. The Deputy Prime Minister, Michael McCormack, stepped up as acting Prime Minister, and he attended a forum, a business function, I think it was, in Wagga Wagga on Friday, and he was asked about the Pacific Island Forum and the comments of the leaders of these countries who were saying, hey, Australia, maybe you should fucking do something about climate change. His response was, I get a little bit annoyed when we have people in these sorts of countries pointing the finger at Australia and say we should be shutting down our resources sector so that, you know, they will continue to survive.
Which, yeah, thank like, you. It's so bald-faced, him being like, they want to survive.
He actually just summed up like my previous point that it took me like 3 minutes to get through. He said it extremely concisely. So thanks for summing that up, Mikey. He went on to say, they'll continue to survive because many of their workers come here and pick our fruit. Pick our fruit grown with hard Australian enterprise and endeavor. Look, I think that we've just gone over the arrogance and incompetence that is characterizing this government and how upsetting it is that on a global stage that they are just massively showing our ass as a country. I think this is, absolutely. I mean, this is the first time I've really felt like this is an especially, this is a particular kind of badness that is really particular to the ScoMo administration.
Right.
Tony
Abbott's failures were of a very different quality.
Yeah, and likewise Turnbull's. I don't think that Turnbull would have fucked this up quite as bad.
No,
and look,
that's true.
And I don't want to, you know, I don't want to fucking praise him.
Yeah.
But look, another, you know, a shit take from the Deputy Prime Minister contributing to, you know, the fact that we just don't that our political leaders have no understanding of these issues and they're completely unwilling to take any responsibility for our role in furthering climate change. And it's just really fucking depressing, you guys. You know, and they're so incompetent that they're literally willing to come out in public and say, oh, no, we care more about money than the survival of other humans.
Yep.
And what happens? I mean, we talk about it on this fucking podcast. All right, that's probably enough complaining, doom and gloom. We do have something slightly more fun, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess it's slightly more fun. This is a...
You fucked up.
Who was it this week, Noon?
This week it was Pauline Hanson, and she got on Twitter and made this remark. A Twitter mob is trying to get me deplatformed. I think we can turn their hashtag into a force for good. Anti-white racism is often ignored because victims remain silent, but it's important to get the truth out. Use hashtag wake up to racism to share your experience of anti-white racism.
As you can imagine, she left herself fucking wide open to left Twitter, who's absolutely run rampant.
Just gone off.
In the replies and with the hashtag. So we just wanted to hit you with a couple of the top ones. Ket and Joshi writes, I was living in a share house and someone nicked my entire season 6 box set of Star Trek The Next Generation and season 2 of The West Wing. Hashtag anti-white racism.
I can't tell any of the contestants on The Bachelor apart. Hashtag wake up to racism. That's from at Washington X.
Matt Burke, I asked someone what that basketball movie with Woody Harrelson was called. I can't repeat their reply. It's just too upsetting. Hashtag wake up to racism.
I'm very pale, so I have very sweet pink nipples. They are sweet, innocent, and cherub-like, and they emasculate me at the beach. Anti-white racism. Hashtag wake up to racism. That's from Tom Tanuki.
there's a number of good ones I think you should check out. Go and check out the hashtag. Thanks, Pauline, for providing us with all of this mirth and for once again just exposing what an absolute dunce you are. Isn't it cool that she's an elected representative of the Australian people?
I'm very proud of our nation and government.
Very proud of our senator. Okay, well, that's it. Oh, we've got 1 minute and 40 seconds on the clock of free time on Podbean. Rate, review, subscribe.
Yeah,
please.
Give us some reviews.
Please
share
tell
your
friends.
I don't think we swore quite as much in this episode as we did in previous ones, so maybe send it to your mum.
Really? I think I said fuck a lot, to be honest.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Well, send it to your cool uncle who doesn't mind then. Check us out on Facebook, Ozpol Shitposting, currently Ozpol Rafwu Solidarity Posting.
Yeah, if you try to search it down.
And we're on Twitter, at Ozpol Snack Pod.
And yeah, stay tuned next week for details about the Patreon, and also for a new cool special episode marking our 10th ever episode. If you stuck with us this long, thanks heaps.
Thanks.
It's been great fun.
We're having a great time making it, and we hope you're enjoying listening.
Cheers. Keep on snacking in the free world.
Crunch, crunch.